I thought we would introduce ourselves, the speakers here. And Claudia, you go first. You're Swiss, so usually women do not come first, but now you come first. Okay,
welcome.
Can you just...
Welcome to this workshop for to the Sense for Coherence. We are glad that you're interested in the subject. My name is Claudia Maia Magistretti. I'm professor at Lucerne University in Switzerland. I'm also a member, a proud and happy member of the Global Working Group of Cellulogenesis, and I'm vice president of for Global Partnership at IUHB and vice president of the new working group within IUHPE on planetary health. This is me, and Bengt.
My name is Bengt Lindström, and I was not a student of Aaron Antonovsky, but I followed him the last 7 years of his life. He became a professor at the university where I was working, and we had plans to meet in the autumn of 1994 when I had finished my thesis on quality of life of children. And unfortunately, Aaron died. I visited Israel, but I had really no contact, not even with Shifra at the time being, but later on this moved on. And I moved on after Antonovsky died with courses on cellulogenesis in 1995, the year after, and then continued with these for 15 years. And at the Nordic School of Public Health. And then we went on, I got a job in Finland, and I took my closest PhD student with me, who made her thesis on a synthesis of all research on cellulogenesis. The book I have here, it's called The Unraveling the Mystery of Cellulogenesis, like Antonovsky's book, Unraveling the Mystery of Health. But this was the first time we really had a good, consistent material of everything that had been published. This was in 2007. And Monica Eriksson made her PhD on this one. And this was the start where we are now. Same year, we got the question of becoming a global working group of IUHB, and we said yes. We had thought of going on doing it ourselves, but we chose to go with IUHB, and that was a good choice. And we were only two persons who started the global working group. Now look, we have a 25-30 persons only in the core group today, and things have really moved a lot forwards when it comes to research, when it comes to publication, comes to books. So we can go on and look at that later on. I also became, in 2011, the first professor of cellulogenesis in the world. I'm very proud of that. And I felt I took the heritage of Aaron Antonovsky and brought it into a broader research framework. And there we are today. You can look at this conference today and enjoy what has come out of it. So that can be. I'm retired. I'm too old to work at academia in Scandinavia. So I'm retired at the moment and sit on Bornholm in Denmark, and have a good life. Okay, Claudia, do you want to say anything about the future of the agenda?
Yes, I would like to introduce you to the workshop, so you know a bit what awaits you. We are going to talk about the new concept in cellulogenic theory, the sense for coherence. Bengt put this word on the world, and he will, in a first part, tell a bit about the theoretical concept and the history of this new concept. In the second, we will just have twice 10 minutes, so you needn't listen too long. In the second part, when I learned about this concept, I was very curious and I started to investigate it. And you will have the first empirical results on what is this and how does it work, and maybe also what will it bring for practice in the second part. And then we will have short discussions. And in the third part, we will all together further develop this concept for practice. And we will start with examples from of Bengt's and of my different areas we work or worked. And so now I would like to give you the floor, Bengt, for your introduction.
Yes, I try to be very practical with this concept sense for coherence. And the thing was, I was at the time research director in an institute, in an NGO with a large practical program. And many of these people were not academic. They had never heard about salutogenesis. And I tried to clarify their role in the dialogue with the people they work with. They were working with young people, they were working with old people and other people. And in this thought, I first listed what can be important of resources to provide for young people and to provide for older people and so on. And I realized that the concepts of salutogenesis are very theoretical and difficult to apply. So I usually, as I would have liked now, show something that could inspire you and to make you understand what it's all about, like a video about a child with the mother. But then I thought, if I want to put a concept on this, are you supposed to act with the people you care for and work with? I thought sense for coherence, saying that it's about the ability to get into the communication deep with the people you work with. In Finland, we have a concept called pennon silmä, which means to have the eye for a puppy. You know how to behave with the puppy in order to do it. An animal parent, like the mother dog. And we also thought that there are many young mothers who immediately know what this is all about. They know how to care for the child. They have this as an intuition, I would say, and probably because they themselves have been treated like a full person in the beginning of their life. All do not have it. And we do know it's very important to have this sort of communication to get into the depths of what people think. And while we used it initially as a practical concept, now Claudia will have a lot of slides showing the theoretical framework that she has developed, and we have developed sometimes also together when technology works, which it hasn't done for the last 2 days. And in the thought of this, I also thought that there's a concept that it's good to understand and to know, and that is the word mentalization. I don't know if you ever heard mentalization. It is how we can understand how another people's person think and how another what another people is and what that person responds to. And I think this mentalization is really a part of the concept of sense of coherence. If you think about sense of coherence, it is actually a concept which says this person or this group of people are somewhat in contact with the context around themselves. So it's actually not, I have difficulties to say with the word of individual, the individual sense of coherence, because sense of coherence is always a connection to other people and to the surrounding. So that's my thought about this. And this is the core of what I think. And this is how we are going to deal with this. As Shifra said in the little discussion before about Aaron Antonovsky, she says that the meaningful dimension of sense of coherence is the important part. And that's where you are going to aim. How can I actually motivate a person? Yes, I can motivate that person by understanding what makes sense, what makes meaning for the person, and thereby the person can continue and can develop their own sense of coherence. But it's always a sort of contact with the other side, with other people. And this was how I started to think in terms of a sense for coherence. Claudia, would you like to come in with something here? Do you have your slides or something?
You have to unmute, Claudia.
Thank you. So, yes, we are talking about the sense for coherence. And as Ben said, I'm going to explain to you what we know about this sense for coherence. It's a new concept in salutogenesis, and we are both very curious about your reactions, what you think about it. We researched quite a while on this concept, and here on the left-hand side of the slide, you see all the university at 6 so far in 5 countries that are involved. 7th university will join us this year. When we started, we knew the sense for coherence is a perspective, a new perspective. And we had 2 quotes at the beginning, 2 quotes from Bengt. I'm sorry, somehow my screen doesn't need to be removed. Yes, saying that the sense for coherence is the ability to see the inside perspective of target systems, this mentalization ability, that makes it possible for the target group to develop a sense of coherence. And, or simpler, in a later statement, professional sense of how to improve the sense of coherence of the people they work with. But this is the last quote we had at the beginning. Up to now, we don't know how professionals actually do this. And this was the start of our first study, entitled Setting the Stage for Health. We wanted to know how do professionals who claim themselves having a salutogenic or health-oriented practice, how do they actually work? What do they do? And we wanted to know the tacit knowledge, not their attitudes, the tacit knowledge that leads their everyday actions. So we did interviews, long interviews with special narrative keys and special evaluation and analysis methods. And we started with midwives. Midwives, because we were at the cost action involved in the cost action at the time on natural birth, but midwives also because we know that around the time of birth giving, the shock of mothers is easy to be influenced. So we can move it to the positive or to the negative spectrum. And we choose midwives for this reason. They were from 3 different countries, representing different healthcare systems in birth houses and in freelance home birth settings and in pre, peri, or postnatal care. They were working there. And what we found is that this was a surprise that then they actually do address the dimensions of the sense of coherence. They follow. Bengt, I'm a bit confused because it always pops up that I should let in people, and it's difficult for me to talk and to manage. So please, could you manage the waiting room? Thank you. Okay. Also, as I said, we found that professionals have actually follow the dimensions of the SOC in their counseling practice, and we also found how they do it. I will explain this in the example only for the comprehensibility. They forced the participants in our study forced the comprehensibility as a process of actively investing in understanding the woman, providing explanation and orientation, and thereby continuing. It's a continuing action cycle, if we want to call it sense for comprehensibility, to describe the way professionals try to strengthen the sense of comprehensibility, then we have to think in a circle, in an action cycle. The understanding process is a very active process of the professionals, as you can see it here in the quote. I fear it's only me who has these things. I have to let people in, sorry. When a quote of this midwife, I got the entry form and I read that she wanted an early PDA. Then I didn't think, oh God, there's one who wants an early peridural anesthesia, because there's always a reason why she wants this. And then I went to ask her, just because I was interested. I wanted to understand. And this is what participants described to us. They actively wanted to understand the real wishes, the real orientation of their women or patients. The second part of this action circle is an explanation, where of course you have to explain technically, explain the advantages and disadvantages of something you could recommend. But the important part of the quote is the woman has to know. It's not the professional's view, I have to explain. No, the woman has to know, did she get what I said? This is the orientation of these professionals. Thereby, they provide orientation because they also explain how things will go on, how things will proceed. And here again, a quote, when she's aware of what I'm doing, the woman knows she can rely on me, she can trust me. And this explanation, explain, understand, give orientation in a continuous action circle, this creates trust and security. And more than security, because it also bridges comprehensibility to manageability in the sense that it's, again a quote, it's the professional's tasks to mobilize the power of the woman and to bring her in contact with her power or knowledge and to teach her to trust it. So to understand the situation until I'm confident enough to act, this is what here is meant by the empowerment. So the other dimension, I will only shortly explain, the manageability is the most, the most unsecure dimension, because it is very much dependent on the context, as Antonovsky already stated, but here we saw it again. The midwives explained to us that it's difficult to go with the woman in a context that's pathological oriented or risk oriented, or also in working conditions that are difficult. But this is what they do to enhance manageability in the women. They go with the women. Sometimes it means just to let them do, or sometimes it means they need guidance. This is what they explained to us very detailed. And therefore, you have here an example how this is lived. After the third burst that day, I just lacked sensitivity. And then I told her what she had to do instead of giving her options to choose. I was directed by my opinion and not open to her wishes. And here you have it again, the sense for coherence. I don't know, but I think many professionals just say, I have explained so she can choose, or I tell her what to do, then it will go out well. This is a normal attitude in many professions. But here the sense for coherence is different. It's directed to the woman's wishes and not to the expert's opinion. Meaningfulness is conceptualized in this study either as a trust in the innate power of birth, as this manageability and meaningfulness that comes out from security and empowerment, or the will to realize a targeted aim. Again, here a quote, this musician, he knew the child was breech and he just didn't stop teasing and tickling. He didn't stop. up to the point when the baby turned around. I was surprised, really surprised. So to go for a name, I have to go for a water birth or whatever. So one could state that the sense for coherence means addressing comprehensibility, manageability, meaningfulness in the target groups, creating security, empowerment, and this results in mastery. This was very impressive in the study with the midwives, as better a woman could manage her birth, as more she was motivated to go through the pain, and as more she was motivated, as more she could manage the birth. And this was like a self-enhancing circle that resulted in mastery. And this is what actually Sense for Coherence also aims at. Now we could say, well, this is the normal way we work. This, it isn't as the second study shows. In the second study, we included obstetricians, we included hospitals, and we included different health orientations. And we found actually two types I will present now of orientation and two types of practices going along with this. Clinical oriented professional practice is much simpler. Professionals provide information. If the information doesn't lead to action, they try to reduce fear, like, well, you're in the norm, it's nothing wrong, everything will go fine. And if this does not lead to action, then they look for expertise, either for expertise for themselves, they ask a colleague or a leading doctor, or for an expertise for the woman. For example, when the woman has diabetes and cannot regulate her diet, then she is sent to a dietist. The sense for coherence, though, I will soon stop. I know I'm over the 10 minutes, three slides. The sense for coherence, though, is not a technique. And this was a third part of our previous study so far. We tried to see, to measure it technically. And therefore, I have to explain, when people change in their emotions or in their engagement, the temperature of their skin changes, like I now must have red cheeks because I'm talking and it's hot. And this can be measured, the temperature of the skin can be measured by thermal imaging. And this is what we did. We measured the counseling sessions in, we did four measurements in half an hour of counseling or in 40 minutes of counseling. And you can see here the pictures. As more the color goes to the red or to the white, as hotter is the area. And as more as it goes to blue or dark blue, as colder is the area. And you see here, we have here the clinical practice, the one with information, expertise, and fear reduction. This, nothing happens much. Not much is happening during these counseling sessions, as you can see on the graph. At the beginning, there's engagement because you need to establish a contact, but then the temperature goes as it goes down as low as it had been before. The contrary is the case in the group with the sense for coherence practice. Here you can see what Ben said at the beginning, it's an interaction. The sense of coherence, the sense for coherence are interactions, and there's an interaction that changes both the client or the patient and the consultant. Now, what you see here, you start with a much lower skin temperature, and this rises at the end. It's higher at the end than it has been before. So this means it's more involvement in it. You can also see the areas of the face that get warmer. Here, it's a sign of warmth, a sign of affection, a sign of being towards a person, if you have a higher temperature on the cheeks, for example. So here are some references if you would like to read the few things we have written so far. And now I would like to stop here and ask you if you have right now any comments or questions, or if you want to have something repeated or clarified what I said. Just open your mics and... Well, then we were thinking that we let you think about what we have been talking about in small breakout rooms. And if you agree, we would give you 10 minutes just to brainstorm about what you've heard and what you think about it. We will call you back in 10 minutes. Welcome back, everybody, I think so. Some were lost on the way, unfortunately. Good. Is there anything you would like to share, to contribute, or to ask?
Yes.
Yeah, please, Gitta, hello.
We solved it.
Good.
Yes, I just remember from when I was defending my PhD, it was this talk about process and state. And in our group, we discussed this, that sense of coherence is more as a state and sense for coherence is a process. And also I had an example from my experience from my this spring when I've been running to the hospital quite a lot. There was one cardiologue that said to me, he looked me in the eyes and he said, "I believe you." He had sense for coherence. Yeah. Yes. So we solved it. You don't have to do any more research, Bengt.
And we also added belief and authenticity.
Yes.
Keywords as well. That was the mindful presence, belief, authenticity, and the process, that it is a process.
Mm. Yeah.
Great. Then we have.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bengt, would you like to respond?
I can add to that because we had a similar discussion also about a sense of coherence being something that is, while the sense for coherence is something you can design for and sort of create interventions to cater to people's needs based on this terminology about. And it was really interesting. I was in Gwen's workshop about agency, and we had this discussion about empowerment and in agency and how agency is part of the sense of coherence. We came to a conclusion that agency, empowerment, those are really, really similar. And you, Claudia, had used the empowerment in your model as part of this. And I really liked that because it related to the questions we had in the workshop. So thank you for that.
Yes, and I would, I was thinking about the processes, but period in life when you are in transition. And as a midwife, you know, I was working with women in the maternity process and identity changing. And then the sense for coherence is understandable, you know, because we are in transition. And even a person in depression can be in a difficult position when he has to change in the process of changing things or viewing a perspective of himself in life.
Good.
Yeah, I have a question to maybe most to Bengt. It was the first time you were written about this concept, Bengt, was in 2010. And it was in this Hitchhiker's Guide to Salutogenesis. You are
You want it in Norwegian instead.
You have it in Norwegian and I have it in English and I am from Norway.
I have it in English, German.
Oh, you have both of them.
There are eight different versions of it now. So,
I wanted to ask you because I think the language is very important and I like this very much when you and Monica were writing about this. And I just want to ask you, it is since 2010. How do you have developed on this concept until now? What do you think about what has happened since 2010? Because here in this book, you had just mentioned it, and I like very much what you are writing here. It's just one sentence, but although it was very interesting.
I think that's the best sentence in that chapter about learning and salutogenesis. What has happened is that we have developed mainly in the European Training Consortium a learning model based on this. And this little publication, I think it's from something like 14 or 15 of 2014 or something. We have developed it and we have published also a bit. But then it has been sort of a thought model of us. But now I think what came out with the example that Claudia brought forward and the sort of really practical thinking about how to develop this. And Claudia has also used the sort of dimensions of sense of coherence to improve our understanding of sense for coherence. But it's not much more that we have done there. And this is the first time we launched it on a broad base here. Mainly it has been writing, sort of in text and so on. But thank you for that little phrase that says something. And it was actually a practical invention at that time. Invention and so on, yeah.
I can tell I have used this in my learning process with my students, and they like the way it's pronounced sense of and sense for. I think it's a very good distinction, and I think it's a useful way of thinking. So to you, Claudia, also very nice to hear your presentation. Very interesting.
Thank you. Eva is one of the stars in mental health and salutogenesis, if you don't know her. Go and look at her.
Thank you.
Which is one of the most important dimensions here also. The mental health and salutogenesis go very close together. Again, creating this kind of atmosphere that we have here. Good.
There is a chat note from Robin on a physical level. I think mirror neurons are involved in sense for coherence. Bengt, would you like to join with Genesis and I will follow them with another thing?
Sorry, I didn't really catch that one.
Okay, open the chat. On a physical level, I think mirror neurons are involved in sense for coherence. This is a thesis to discuss. And you were thinking in the same directions. That's why I think you could reply if you like.
You say something, it works like a mirror where people, you see, I can't open the chat. My magic computers do not work. I can't even see where it is at the moment.
Okay,
so I'm sorry.
Maybe Robin, could you explain a bit more what you meant? Because it's a very interesting thought.
Well, mirror neurons are the fact that when we're...
Neurons, now I get it.
Neurons,
yeah.
Yes. Do you want to answer, Ben?
We actually, in the position paper on salutogenesis, we have elaborated on this, but I don't want to... I know I know what you're talking about, but this is an area where I actually would like to... let this idea develop, because as soon as you have some kind of structure, people say neuron, they say, this is something that exists. While we are talking sociology, it doesn't exist. But as soon, like the example of Claudia with the therma, as soon as we have this kind of tools, it will be much more. And again, if we go into the brain, maybe we can manage as well as the people in child psychiatry who came with the concept of MBD and then this all this diagnosis, which is based on this kind of thinking. And I've read about the mirror neurons, but I'm not an expert in it. So maybe you can develop on that more.
Perhaps if I may comment on this from my small group together with Sanne Heemstra, because it goes in line with the guess of Robin concerning the mirror neurons. Our guess as newcomers to the salutogenesis family, I have to say, is that the empathetic skill set for the therapist or for the supervisor is essential for this concept of sense four coherence, because without this bridging between the therapist and the target, to say it neutrally, you would not be able to build up the sense for coherence. That's just a comment. And one question: how important is it that the one who takes the progress of sense for coherence also has a good sense of coherence?
Thank you very much for these questions, because these are results I couldn't present today because of the shortage of time. We of course thought, is there a sense for coherence or isn't it just empathy? And that's why we measured empathy in the second study alongside with the sense of coherence in all participants, in the obstetricians, in the midwives, in the nurses, also in the clinical and in the sense for coherence oriented practices. We observed the sessions they had. And what we found, but it's small sample, right? It's just preliminary. What we found is that empathy is not necessarily linked. It is a bit higher in the group of the sense for coherence, but the highest it was in people with a sense for coherence, practical orientation, working in a clinical context. They had to bridge. They had to bridge very many concepts, and they had the highest level of empathy. And a similar pattern we found with the sense of coherence. When participants had coherence in the sense that they were clinically oriented and working in a clinical environment, then their SOC was okay. And also the well-being, the SOC values were stronger and the well-being was better. And the same for sense for coherence oriented participants working in birth houses or health oriented birth centers. And so we are not really sure what it will be. We are planning now to evaluate the whole sample and tend to go on with a bigger sample, but it does not seem to be directly related to the sense of coherence and to empathy, as far as we have now seen in a very small sample, but we have to investigate this further. This is a very important point we have to focus on. Sorry, I talked a bit long.
No, thanks. So it comes clear to me that it's not clear at the moment. Thank you.
There is Sanne who raised her hand to say something.
Yeah, maybe I do have a question. And like Steven already said, he said we are both newbies, and that is really true. I started 1 month ago with my PhD research, and I saw this concept today for the first time, and I thought maybe I could use it, but I'm not really sure yet. So my question is, you tried this in a clinical setting. In what other settings would you like to, or do you think it will be useful to see if it works?
How it works. We did not investigate, but we used it in teaching sectors, and they investigated in their practice. So we have a whole lot of these little works, they were papers they have to write when they study. We did it in early childcare education. We did it in, mainly there. We also tried it to do in teaching. And Bengt, you have other examples. We were going to talk about examples today also.
But yes, mainly in learning settings. That's where I have been using it and trying to develop it. And I'm really inspired by the inputs we have here today to go forward with this and try to find a more consistent basis. I think this is the time when we, for the first time here, presents that this is an international sort of conference about salutogenesis. Mm-hmm. And Claudia, all the figures you had in your presentations are really core figures, but there's a lot to think about.
Yeah, I was thinking, my head goes everywhere at the moment. My research will be about, in the Netherlands, there is an agreement to create jobs at regular employers for people with an occupational disability. Mm. And that can be everything. But a very important part of that is that there is a supervisor helping these people to be able to do their job. And we are planning to look at the effects on health and sustainable employability. And while listening to your presentation, I thought, well, maybe there is the sense for coherence is very important in that relation between the supervisor and the employer. But I have to think about that maybe more. What do you think?
You are in a sense saying that this could be a collective sense between supervisor, employer, and the one and the employee. And
For the supervisor himself or herself.
Yes. Mm. Yes. For leading capacities, it's very important. Also, we have examples from health promotion in organizations. We also have, but we have not yet analyzed it, we have double measures of interactions where we have the midwife and the woman photographed at the same time. And we are very curious what will come out of this. But I like your idea and I would like to discuss it with you, maybe in a one room at lunch or somewhere.
Yeah.
Just send me an invitation. I think this is worth thinking about, but maybe it's too specific. It will be of interest for the whole group now. I see there are new questions coming in, sense for coherence, bringing people more connected with nature. And also a message from Annika. Would you like to say something or did you just want to post it in the chat?
Well, I can say it also because I thought it was really interesting that she brought up some mirror neurons because we're trying to design a concept for families with young children to come out in nature more often. And we have focused a lot on welcoming activities or activities that actually are based on mirror neurons, like for instance, clapping or rhythms or you know, mirroring each other and just to create the sense of coherence and bonding with the group. And so that's it. I thought it was really interesting that you brought that up. That's it. Thanks.
This is another area, but there is research going on the connection between sense of coherence, oxytocin, nature. We're working on this in another project, but we are at the very beginning.
Where can I find out about that?
I beg your pardon?
Where can I find out more about it?
Kerstin, Bengt, you have to pronounce it.
Kerstin Uvnes Moberg, okay. Who is in Stockholm. and is the word expert on oxytocin. You never know how to pronounce it in English, but it's really a concept. She was in one of our cost projects, and actually the theoretical sort of framework. And Claude is now trying to link this together into something new and exciting.
Interesting.
Yes, yeah. Please, Simon.
Yeah, I have a question a little off target here. I've noticed, I mean, I actually studied with Aaron Antonovsky in medical school, so it's nice to see this kind of evolution and interest. But what I'm curious about, it seems like a lot of the energy is in the Nordic countries, Germany, and perhaps Switzerland. And I'm just wondering, have you given any thoughts about why it's taken seed in those particular cultures, and then in terms of trying to disseminate it to other places that have maybe different cultures? Because certainly the example that you gave with midwives may be more specific to the environment that you're in. I don't think it would necessarily be that illuminating in other environments. So I'm just wondering, having worked in this field, written about it, translated it in so many languages, whether my observation sort of like holds water, and on the other part, how to kind of push this forward.
Well, the way you started your statement is that what Aaron also faced, it's only Switzerland and Aaron Antonovsky's friends in Scandinavia, but that's not true at all. We have at least translations into 50 languages, and then understand it that the Anglo-Saxon and French word is expanding from countries. So I believe we have about 100 different countries which have been working with this. But we have recorded 50 different translations of the concept. So we are much beyond what it was when Aaron left this world. We have a much bigger. He was connected to one of the early mental health researchers in Sweden, and that was his contact there. He had some contacts in Switzerland. And of course, Scandinavia, I was sitting in a position where I could talk to people from five countries at the same time, the Nordic School of Public Health. So it was easy to spread it in Scandinavia, and 15 years of courses on salutogenics surely make some mark. Eva Langeland had started before, but she was also a student in this. And if I look at the group sitting here, many of them have been in contact somewhere now. But we are much broader now. And looking at the number of people and the number of people in the global working group. And for instance, if you look at the handbook of salutogenics, the first edition, more than 2 million people have downloaded it. And that's almost a big part of Scandinavia, and they are not Scandinavians. Just sort of as a little remark. Claudia, want to say something?
Yes, maybe enlarge your response to the sense for coherence. Your answer was on the sense of coherence. And for the sense for coherence, we actually don't know. My hypothesis is that at the end, it must be something also physiologically rooted. In the sense for coherence. And I think the circles and the triangles that other cultures might depict and the words they may have put in could differ, but comprehensibility, meaningfulness, and manageability, I assume, will stay. But we don't know. We are at the very beginning, and this would be interesting to know. Is this an answer to your question, or do you would you like to contradict, because it's a discussion, we like it. Simon?
I think it's wonderful. I think clearly I came back to salutogenesis from researching the issue of opiates. And there was someone in Scotland who was saying that they were doing a presentation about opiate management in Scotland using the salutogenic method. And for them, what they did, he was the chief medical officer for Scotland, and they focused on children and having children read to every night. So whether it was a GRR or some other intervention, he called that salutogenic intervention. So that's how I got back into thinking about salutogenesis. But I'm certainly delighted. And I think, like everybody's been saying, there's so many questions to be asked. My focus as a psychiatrist, I've dealt a lot with the clinical setting. I'm much more interested right now in how to deal with salutogenesis within communities and how to sort of like help people navigate ways that they can sort of like experience their own sense of coherence without it being something that they deny someone else their sense of coherence, which is what I'm afraid is happening more and more.
May I just share a slide with you? We had plans to do more breakout rooms, but we're not going to. Can you see the slide?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. This was last year, COVID lockdown, Lebanon, after the explosion. And when you say community sense for coherence, this is an example from our colleague Ali Gadar from Lebanese International University. What they did after the explosion, in the whole misery they had, in water scares and everything, they thought of the Syrian and Palestinian refugees in Lebanon. And they thought that they could not have their daily source of income because it was black work, black market work. And so what did they do? They organized a platform with small jobs where refugees could work in the communities and earn their money. Even though it was not actually legal, they had a sense for coherence in the community. I don't know if I explain it well, but this is not only an individual thing. There is sense for coherence in communities, and we experienced many, many, many examples during the lockdowns in many countries. So we were thinking, maybe now we don't have time for breakout rooms, but we had the last question, Bengt and I. How would you put or adapt sense for coherence in practice? And do you have examples where you observe sense for coherence in your practice already? So we wanted to use the last 5 minutes we have to have a closer look to the practical level of sense for coherence. Maybe you have examples, or we would, maybe Bengt, you would like to add one.
I can say something.
Please.
It's just some reflections and questions. I have no answers, but I have experience from salutogenic talk therapy groups, and their participants are listening to each other. And then I can ask, may it be that the people, these participants, are developing their sense for coherence because they are trying to understand and so on the other participants? And that's one question. And another question is this sense of for coherence, might that be connected to a collective sense of coherence? For example, a talk therapy group, may they develop a collective sense of coherence when they are getting known to each other and have a good climate in group?
A good thought. You could even expand it to a cultural understanding in a nation and so on. And we know that this is something that goes on, but we don't have specific sort of answers. I'm still so impressed by you being impressed by one sentence with one word. So I'm trying to grasp that one, but this is a good start. So Claudia, yes, please, yes.
So in complementary therapy, we use focusing qualities for a sense for coherence for the person with him or herself to go into the body and listen to what's happening inside the body, and then to join them through active listening by contributing observation of what we can see in their posture or on their facial expressions, etc.
Robin, can I ask you, is that connected to authentic movement somehow? Because it sounds really, really similar.
Focusing, yes, it's active listening in the sense that we're doing also listening of the nonverbal, of the sensations in the body, the expressions on the face, the posture. And by connecting to that, also us mirroring that, which brings us immediately into a presence with the person, into what they're going through at that time.
This is something the midwives in the first study emphasized very much, to perceive with all your senses, to smell, to listen, to feel your bodily reactions. This was a very, very important concept within the concept of understanding. And as others said before, it's a continuous learning process. It's not you have a sense for coherence, you learn, you continuously learn. And this was also said by all professionals we interviewed and observed in our studies.
I have a question or a comment. Can you learn sense for coherence? Or do you have it?
Well, we talked about, you know, understand the word penunsilmä. We talked about intuition. We talked about what other words we use. But probably you have as you develop your sense of coherence when already intrauterine, and the dialogue has to be there. If you have a good mother and father who know how to talk to you from the beginning, you do have this with you somehow in your life. Okay.
Okay.
I can refer to Jonas Ospelin's work on relational pedagogics, because he separates between the more the intuitive care and the one you can learn. I think this relates to it very much.
But what is intuition again? But okay, let's not go into that one now.
It's a good question. Good. Okay.
So this for coherence is something running around.
No. We're not letting it run around. We want to capture it. We want to conceptualize it. We want to know what it is, because it might be very important, as Ben said, for learning process. When we talked to professionals and we also interviewed them, not only measured their temperature and observed their sessions, we interviewed them about their professional attitude. Everybody with three different measurements, everybody said, I'm health oriented, I'm working with resources, I'm relating in a partnership. This is what they say and what they believe they do, but what they do was different in many cases. And I think this will be very important for the education of counselors, of teachers, of leaders, to show them where they are, because what professionals believe they do is not always actually what they do. Sometimes it's what they would like to do. And so as more as we learn about this sense for coherence, as better we can educate people, and as better we can learn ourselves to strengthen the sense of coherence with others. And thereby, I'm at the first sentence that Bengt 10, 12 years ago wrote. And maybe I give you the floor, Bengt, now for a closing remark. Thank you.
Well, I don't know if I deserve it, but I have been very inspired by this group and thinking about Annika sitting here from Folk Health, where I initially tried this concept out, looking at Gita, who said something about her thesis, I was her opponent, and then going over midwives here, and Eva, of course, who has been with this along, and Otvar, and Yaroslav, and all others, which I don't mention now. But I really think this, what we can say now, it seems to be we have something that we can continue to think about and develop more concretely than before and do more studies on it. I think this is where I want to end the story. And to treat people as human beings, to think about everybody is an actively participating subject in whatever we do. And I think this sense for coherence could induce that kind of thinking, which I miss in the sense of coherence discussion, really. You don't really go into to the human rights perspective. Here we have done it, and I think also in many works, but in the original work, we tend to forget that. And then I'll leave the last word to Claudia.
Yeah, thank you very much. You have been so inspiring. And it was a bit an adventure to show this concept to you, because when we started, we thought, well, either it will be a big failure or it will be a good concept. We still don't know, but we are encouraged that it might become a good concept. Thank you so much for your valuable contributions, and see you after the break. Goodbye.
Claudia.
Yes.
Did Bengt leave already? No, he's mute.
Avishai, you wanted to say something I didn't see. Avishai.
Who is clapping his
hand?
I'm
here. I'm here.
Yeah. I was thinking of to have this sense for coherence in my next move. With what do you measure it?
An instrument like the sense of coherence, we do not have yet.
You don't have that now, okay.
No. Maybe it's not even so easy to do because it's, as you said.
No, it's not easy, no.
Well, one of the global working group, one of the perspectives in developing the salutogenic model is to look at how this interaction between in early life develops, and maybe we can use sense for coherence in this discussion.
Okay.
Maybe we should form a group. You have been here, who wants to sort of collect this group and see if we can interact on this one. And we need more publications on this, Claudia. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's the process. I'm really in this process.
Good. Now, the idea of a group is very good. We will have, I think, the participants, I'm not sure, of this working group, but we will see. I think that's a very good idea. To form a group to discuss and go on with this. Thank you. And we were about to going to write a chapter paint.
Yeah, because life is a process, it's not a state. Yes, thank you very much to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Celine, you had another question. Good. Okay. So Celine had a question about epigenetics of SOC, and then I will go for a break. Celine?
It's because you were talking about prenatal life. So I was thinking about my question, does the prenatal life and the circumstances of birth can make like an imprint of the sock of somebody? So it's an epigenetic process.
Hmm. Possible, yes. I'm sorry, I don't have had time to develop epigenetics in this sense, but this is one thought we shall bring with us in the future, or right now.
Thank you, Céline.
Thank you.
And thank you, Bengt, you made it, I'm happy. I hadn't done it by my own. Thank you.
We overcome technological problems. I mean, you're on two computers and four nets here, but it did work.
It did, okay. See you later. Thank you.
Okay, bye. Bye-bye.